We also are very thankful to you. You're a great church. You were here in support of the meeting. We had good numbers each evening, and we are just thankful that you chose to be a part of the meeting in support and bringing visitors to hear the word of God. We had six precious souls to be brought to Christ during the meeting. And then this morning, we were very blessed to have another young lady to put Christ on in baptism. So we're still reaping benefit from the gospel campaign. We also want to encourage you to continue to work diligent as you have in the ministries. We have so many great ministries. And if you know and you believe like I do, God has blessed this church. This is a blessed church. And it seems as though God has blessed us beyond our own individual value, but that's because God is better to us than we are to ourselves. And so as you go about, you may hear some things that people say negatively toward the congregation here, but I want you to tell them that I don't know anything that's perfect, but I do know this, that God has blessed this church. And I want you to tell them that the good far outweighs all the negative that anybody can bring against this church. This is a good church, great church. And I pray like I'm forgetting something, but anyway, I want you to turn with me to Titus chapter 1. And I want to read in your hearing again verses 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I want to speak to the theme for this third quarter, the perfect purpose of Jesus Christ, who is the master teacher. I want you to also recognize that in verses 1 and 2, I believe is a perfect outline for the faith of God's elect, which speaks to the position of his purpose for his people. Acknowledging of the truth speaks to the proclamation that the Lord has for his people, which speaks to his purpose for his people. And after godliness speaks to the practice, and that is his purpose, that we practice what we preach and that we proclaim from the position that God has blessed us to be in. And then in verse number 2, it is our desire for eternal life, which we have a promise from God, which is in heaven. So that is what I'm going to be speaking to for a few Lord's days. I want us to look at our position, our proclamation, our practice, and the promise as it relates to the Lord's perfect purpose for his people. Why did Paul take time to enumerate all of these things concerning the wonderful position, proclamation, practice, and promise, if it were not something of importance? The reason I know it is important is because he does not address Titus personally until verse number 4. But he makes sure that he includes these wonderful golden nuggets of truth before he says, "Titus, mine own son." So that's my outline for this month. And I want to make sure that you go with me through the perfect purpose of our Lord as we speak to these wonderful truths. But before I get to the position, the proclamation, the practice, and the promise, I saw something else that I thought was very, very unique for this particular message to Titus. And that is the way Paul began his message. He said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I thought that was quite unique. It's almost as though during my daily study, and this is how I came across this passage, to even choose this passage, is that I do my daily reading. And the daily reading is different from the reading that you do to prepare a sermon. The daily reading is allowing God to just speak to you. And when you're preparing for a sermon, you go searching through the Word of God in order to make a particular point or to present those things that you feel from the Word of God will benefit His people. That's a different search. This one I like because it allows me to look more holistically at different books of the Bible, chapters of the Bible. And I've already read the entire epistle to Titus. So I know there's a lot of gold in there, but I'm just going to pick a nugget. And I hope that you can appreciate this one. And that is when I read Servant of God and an Apostle of Jesus Christ, it's almost as though the Spirit of God says, Shelton, don't run over that. I know you want to get to the other truths, but there's something very significant about him saying, first of all, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. It seems that there is far more prestige in being an apostle than being a servant. But he chose to say servant of God before he said apostle of Jesus Christ. I would love for all of us to get the disposition that I think that Paul has and that he is presenting to Titus. When you look at the word servant, using the word servant, it comes from the Greek word doulos, and that simply means a slave. So my lesson this morning is we are slaves that are free. We are slaves that are free. Now, when you think in terms of servant of God, he is saying slave of God. Now, that is a slave either voluntarily or involuntarily. Now, you don't ever want to be a slave involuntarily. You want to be a slave voluntarily. That is, you have a choice and you made the choice to be in servitude, and you have made yourself a bondman in the relationship as a servant to someone. You are in subjection to him. So what Paul is saying is that I am a slave of God. I am a servant of God. I am a bondman of God. I am in subjection. Along with that, simply means that one has been possessed by the master. That means that he is totally, totally in the will and allegiance of the master and not of his own will and his own life. So if you get this message, I'm hoping that it will transform your relationship in your relationship in your marriage. I'm hoping that it'll transform your relationship on your job as you deal with individuals on your job. I'm hoping that I can do a good job in helping you to see that it's more blessed to be a servant of God before you're anything else, a slave of God. But I want to end in showing you that if you're a slave of God, you really are free. Well, I want to go to the Old Testament, and I want to show you that in the Old Testament, This is the way men of God, they saw themselves. They saw themselves as servants of God. In Deuteronomy 34:5, God took Moses up on Mount Nebo, showed him all the plain of Jordan. He said, now, Moses, you won't be able to go over there, but I want you to see. And then Moses, according to this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 34:5, the Bible says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. Notice, the Bible said he was the what? Servant of the Lord. Then I want you to go to Joshua. Joshua, who was the successor of Moses, he was able to see an angel once they crossed over into Canaan. An angel approached him with a sword drawn. And in Joshua 5, in verse number 13, through verse number 15, you'll see what happened. But I want to highlight verse number 14. And he said, nay, but as a captain, because he wanted to know, whose side are you on? And then he said, but as captain of the host of the Lord, this is the angel speaking, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, here it is again, that Joshua refers to himself as a servant. He refers to himself as the slave of God. He references the fact that, what saith my Lord? What saith my master? I want you to understand that your servant is here to do your will and not his own. Samuel, I want you to go with me to Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse number 9, when Samuel was very young and in the house of Eli, who was a judge, Samuel, and you know the story, I don't have time to go through all of the narrative about him, but I do want to make the point that there was a call over in the night that said, Samuel, and young Samuel thought it was Eli that was calling him. But then watch in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel 3 and verse number 9, the Bible said, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he called thee, that thou shalt say, watch this, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, for thy slave heareth. Even young Samuel was instructed by Eli. How do I respond to the call of God? You respond to the call of God by saying, your slave hears you. What I have found is that Moses was the lawgiver, servant. Joshua, who was the one to take Israel and to capture the land of Canaan and to make sure that the assessment of the land went to all of the tribes, Joshua said that he was servant of the Lord. Samuel, a young judge, Samuel, who would become a judge, said that, speak, Lord, thy servant, thy slave heareth thee. Then David, who was king of Israel, when Abner wanted to consolidate the tribes under the kingship of David, in 2 Samuel 3 and verse number 18, listen to what Abner says concerning David. Now, he said, now then do it, speaking to the kings who were under Saul. For the Lord has spoken of David. Listen to this. The Lord has spoken of David. Now watch this saying, by the hand of my servant David, by the hand of my slave David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. How will God save? I'll save them by a slave. How will God lead them? Lead them by a slave. How will God conquer the land of Canaan? By a slave. Joshua, Moses, Samuel, now even King David. Listen to God. As God gives Moses instruction before the children of Israel, go over into the land of Canaan. The Bible says in Exodus 23:25, here's what he says. He says, and ye shall save, put that on the screen, there it is. Ye shall, watch this, ye shall what? Serve, watch the Lord, your God, and shall what? And he shall what? Bless thy what? Bread, thy what? Water, and I will what? Take what? Sickness away from the what? Midst of thee. Point that I want you to see, the word serve is the form of servant. If you're a servant, you serve. You serve in the capacity as a slave. God is saying to Israel, if you be my slaves and let me be your master, your God, he said, then I will bless your bread and your water. God wants his people to understand that the relationship between he and his people is one of slavery, one of servitude, one of diligently knowing that it's not my will, but the will of God that I have given myself over to. Not involuntarily, but voluntarily. These individuals knew that. Now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is right. Now I understand why Paul, when Paul in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4, he said, a servant of God, and an apostle. He didn't say an apostle and a servant of God. He put a servant of God before an apostle of Jesus Christ. What do you want, Brother Gibbs? I want you to learn this lesson, that if you can understand being a slave to God is more important than what you are in any other capacity. You learn the lesson that I'm a slave of God before you a husband. I'm a slave of God before you a wife. I'm a slave of God before you a preacher. I'm a slave of God before I'm an elder. I'm a slave of God before I am an engineer. I'm a slave of God before I'm a lawyer. I'm a slave of God before I'm a doctor. If you can get that in your mind, that slavery to God is what dictates your lifestyle, your behavior, your disposition. As Brother Watson said, your mindset. If you can get that and understand that slavery to God is really a blessing in the life of every child of God. So Paul said, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. May I go with you to some other passages to illustrate this from the New Testament. In John chapter 12 and verse number 26, here Jesus speaks. He said, if any man serve me. Isn't that what it says? Are you there? If any man what? Serve me. Let him what? Follow me. And what? Where I am, there shall also my what? Servant be. If any man what? Serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. That word honor means God will value, God will revere. Who does God honor? Who does God revere? He reveres those that are in slavery to him. He honors those who have voluntarily put themselves in bondage to him. He said, if you serve me, he said, there also my servant will be. Where I am, there will my servant also be. The Lord will be with you. You want value in life? You want to be honored in life today? Do as Paul did. Say to yourself, I am a slave of God Almighty. I am the servant of God. Romans 6 and verse number 17 talks about servitude. Now, this is speaking of when a person is baptized. This is what happens when you are baptized into Christ. All of you that have been baptized, and those of you who I hope will be baptized, and I believe there are some others here who need to be baptized. Let me show you what happens in this idea of servitude in baptism. The Bible says in verse number 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the what? Heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That's baptism. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When a man is baptized, he goes down in that water as a slave to sin, having been put under the bondage of sin. But when he comes up out of the water, he is no longer in bondage. He is now freed from the bondage of sin. But he goes immediately back into slavery, not to sin, but he goes back in bondage to Jesus Christ and becomes a servant of righteousness. It's no longer yielding and letting sin reign in a man's body, but it's now yielding yourself and letting the reign of righteousness in your life. In other words, you just choose to do what's right now. There was a time that I did what was wrong, but now that I'm a Christian, I am no longer under bondage. That's something that happens in that you don't do, but God does. I know you still have the propensity, but in your relationship with Jesus, that's why I say you're free, is that Jesus Christ himself, through his will and through his power and righteousness, frees you from the bondage of sin. That doesn't mean that you don't still sin or that you don't still have a desire to sin. But because of your relationship and position in Jesus, he has now cleansed you from your sin. Now, that's a blessing. That's why if any man is here who is in this world, you're going to have to free yourself from sin. Jesus has said, except a man believe that I am he would die in his sin. And where I am, you cannot come. John 8, verse number 24. You got to understand that sin will destroy you, but Jesus is here to free us from our sin. So if you're a slave of the Lord has freed you from your sin. Thank him. And then now serve righteousness. Serve God in the things that please him. Well, look with me. Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. Let's look at it in a practical way. I showed you what happens in conversion. So that is something that God does. God has converted you from sin, and now he's brought you into righteousness. But now, how do you practice this? Here's what he says in Ephesians 6 and verse number 5. Now, there were some in the New Testament who were servants, and I'm talking about slaves. They were slaves. They were slaves when they came to Christ. That means that they had a fleshly master. Listen to what he says. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, they are servants to people in the flesh. With fear, I want you to do it with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart, that's in sincerity of heart. When you go into your master, now he's talking to real slaves. I want you, now that you are in slavery to me, Christ, I want you to go back to your fleshly masters. And I want you to have a change of heart. I want you not to go back being obstinate and difficult. I want you to go back, and I want you with a sincere heart. I want you as a servant of mine to go in there and do a good work and be obedient to your masters here on this earth. Now, I know some of you, y'all saying, ain't no way. But I'm going to tell you, you better listen to what the Lord is saying, because the Lord is really trying to free us from the tyrannical forces that are in this world. But the only way to do it is to hook up with Jesus. Now, he says, now, don't do it with eye service as men pleases. When you're in that servitude in an earthly situation, don't do it with eye service, trying to see how you can please the men. Don't look at them. Look at your real bondage. Look at your real master, who is Jesus Christ and God. When you go into these situations, God is saying, I need you to do it and do it with all sincerity. Now watch this. He said, not with eye service, verse number 6, as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, from the heart. In other words, there's more than just bondage in slavery in terms of the first century. That may be some here who are in a marriage. Marriage is bondage. Marriage is bondage. I'm going to say that again. I've been in bondage for 40-something years. That's bondage. Are you with me? When you raise children, that's bondage. I'm telling you, when you're trying to raise them from birth and get them out of high school, get them out of college, that's bondage. Amen. That's bondage. And if you got one, that's bondage. You got two, that's double bondage. If you got three, that's triple bondage. I'm trying to show you that to be a husband and then turn around and be a father, man, that's double bondage. Amen. So I am not my own as a husband. Why? Because I am, as a Christian, in bondage to Christ. A wife that is married to a husband and you're a Christian, you are in bondage to Christ before you are in subjection to your husband. Even Jesus, even Paul said to the wife, be subject to your own husband in everything as unto the Lord. In other words, your marriage is interpreted through bondage, slavery to Christ. I do what I do because of my responsibility to the Lord. And here is the beautiful thing about it. The Lord flips and says to the masters, I'm talking about those who are masters in the flesh, those who are bosses in the flesh, and they are Christian. There's a certain way that I want you to respond. That's why he says, and ye masters, in verse number 8, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. In other words, you got a master that is in heaven. Be careful how you treat those that are under you, because your heavenly Father is watching you, and he has no respect of person. In other words, God has as much respect for the slave as he has for the master. Everybody is equal on God's term. But in the slavery to God Almighty, hear me well, church, the Lord is trying to show us that you really have a lot of freedom, because it's a blessing to serve a master who is the Lord. You serve the Lord and give yourself wholly to him. Go in bondage to him and watch what he does. That's why he would say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of Almighty God. God is calling us out of the world. God is calling us to slavery. Everybody who's ever become a slave of God, they have been blessed by God. Let me tell you about your master. Jesus, why is it that one who is slave in slavery to you, that this person really is free? Well, I heard Jesus say in John 8 and verse number 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, when he said the truth shall make you free, may I understand who is the truth? Well, the truth is Jesus himself. Jesus is saying to those Pharisees and helping them to understand, you are depending on yourself and you're seeking to do your own will by the will of men. But if you will know the truth, know me, then Jesus said, ye shall be free. Know the truth and the truth will make you free. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he come by me. Jesus, help me to understand, why is it that when I'm a slave to you, that I am free? Well, Shelton, the reason is because you are free from your sin. When you come into Christ, Christ frees you from your past sin. We learned this last week, from our present sin and from our future sin. You want to live free from the sins that take us in bondage, then come to Jesus. He will free you from your sin. When you stand before God, God will not see your sin, for God will see you through Jesus Christ. There's freedom in Jesus Christ from our sin. Help me to understand, what is it that makes me free in Jesus Christ? The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Jesus is trying to show us that not only are we free from sin, but he gives us a whole new creation in him. What is it that you do? There is therefore no condemnation. Them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. When a man is in Jesus and in bondage to Jesus, frees him from his sin, makes him a brand new creature. No condemnation will come to him at the end of this life in judgment. God has promised that. That's freedom. Help me to understand, what kind of freedom do I have in the Master who is called Jesus? Well, I got freedom from worry. I don't even have to worry about anything. Why? Because he told me, don't take thought of what you're going to eat. Don't take thought of what you're going to drink. Don't take thought of what you're going to put on. Is not your life more than meat? And then he came back and told them, say, consider the birds of the air, how they sow not, neither do they spin. Well, they don't put up in barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. They don't go out and sow seed and then reap it, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. And he asked the question, are you not more than these? God is trying to tell us, my bondage is a mighty good bondage. Why? Because I'm freeing you from sin. I'm freeing you from condemnation. I'm freeing you from having to worry about the things in this life. Help me. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. Here it is. The Bible tells us how that all things he will work together for good to them who what? Love God and are called according to his purpose. God is trying to show you that I free you from trying to make things work out. God is saying, I will work them out for you if you just become my slave. God, help me to understand, what does bondage mean? Bondage simply means that I'll free you. Watch what God did with Israel when he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt and he brought them into the wilderness. God made them bondage to him, but he gave them water from a rock, gave them bread from heaven. God took care of their bodies. God made sure that their clothes didn't wear out on their back. God turned around, gave them the land of Canaan. They didn't deserve it. God gave it to them. Help me to understand, how is it that I got this freedom in Jesus Christ? I heard him say, he said, take up, he said, over there in Matthew 11 and verse number 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What else are you going to give me? Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm a good master. Help me to understand. What kind of master are you? I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am he that'll give you water, that I put a well inside of it, that'll spring up unto everlasting life. Help me to understand. What kind of freedom do I have? When I die, I'm going to give you a brand new body. Am I right? What kind of freedom do I have? One day I woke up in heaven. I don't deserve it. He'll give it to me. I'll walk the streets of gold. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Freedom, freedom is in Christ, not in anything else. Amen, walls and amen, life. Well, okay then. All right, let's see. Can I bring some more freedoms in here? Oh. If you don't believe those, you ain't going to believe any more that I give you. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, okay. Well, I listen to people. I listen to them. I ain't going to be servant to nobody. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. I'm my own man. I do what I want to do. All right, crazy. Do it if you want to. But you're taking the reins of your own life. You're going to lead it. Your life will be led to death.
I know that's right.
The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So if you want freedom, real freedom, give your life to Christ. You've heard the gospel. Will you believe it with all of your heart? Jesus asked you to take him into your life. He asked you to be in servitude to him. Interpret life through his will, not yours, and see what he'll do for you. He'll open doors that you could never open for yourself. And that's the beautiful thing about the Lord, and that is that he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, and he's omniscient. Knows all. Everywhere at the same time, and he's all powerful. So that means that he can do whatever he wants to do. I would much rather give my life to that kind of master than to give my life to a master that only means death. If I do. So will you come? I don't know where you are, but I'm asking you to come. Come to Jesus. I've given you the plan of salvation. Have I not? If I have not, then I'm going to give it to you one more time. You got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Go down with him in the water grave of baptism.
Amen.
That's where I was in Romans 6 and verse number 17. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what you want. You want to make yourself free from sin and then open to the will of God. And then if you do that, then God will bless you tremendously. Will you come? Will you come? Come right now. Father, together we stand.
What can wash away my sins?